If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Mother's Day is around the corner and I have the best gift idea for you. Hold on to your hats. It's mylifeinabook.com. Every week, My Life in a Book will send your mom a question via email. They will compile all of your mom or the mom in your life's answers and create a legacy keepsake book. The book becomes something you and future generations can treasure forever. I gave both my mother and my mother-in-law My Life in a Book, and they've already started responding to the prompts. When my mother-in-law received her first prompt, she said, "Oh my goodness, what a thoughtful gift." And that's what we all want, right? We all want to give thoughtful gifts. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day, mylifeinabook.com, and use code SUSTAINABLE for 10% off today. Well, hello there and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian and you are listening to episode 178 of the Sustainable Minimalist Podcast. On today's show, we are discussing digital minimalism for both kids and adults. Technology is, in many ways, taking over our lives. Research has found that on average, children spend 1,200 hours per year on screens. And adults? 6,200 hours a year, or the equivalent of a staggering 44 years of our lives. On today's show, I am speaking with Bill Brady, the CEO of Trumi Wireless, a new cellular network for kids. Bill is here to offer up his best tips for achieving digital minimalism, as well as the smart ways we can create a home culture that prioritizes in-person time as opposed to screen time. Bill, I am so excited to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Doing great, Stephanie. Thanks so much for having me on today. I couldn't be more excited to be here and talk through what might be the most important topic of minimalism out there.
Yes. Well, that, of course, would be digital minimalism. And I must say, I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic because I am not such a minimalist when it comes to my digital life. And with my two children, especially my older child, who is just spending so much time on technology these days, I'm really looking forward to gleaning some wisdom from you. But before we even get into the meat and potatoes, tell us who you are and what you do.
Thank you. So my name is Bill Brady, and I'm the CEO of a new company called Trumi Wireless. As much as I love that role and feel passion for everything that we do, that's actually not my favorite or my most important job. For me, that's really what I do here at home. I'm a dad of five kids. My wife and I have been married for 20 years, and we're raising five great kids. And really doing all we can to help them grow up with confidence and to have great relationships outside of their digital world. And, you know, frankly, this is something that every parent in America is dealing with in some form or another.
I know you said you have five children, and I hats off to you, by the way, five children. The two that I have are keeping me quite busy, but You had mentioned to me offline that they span in ages from as young as 5 to as old as 17. And so I'm wondering, how do you personally, as a father, navigate the technology, the cell phone conundrum in your house with your 5 children?
So until recently, my perspective was to really put that move to cell phones off as long as possible. Long story short, when we started giving kids cell phones or smartphones specifically back in 2007 when the iPhone came out, we just didn't have a clue as a society of what that consequence would be, what some of the fallout of that would be. Now we do. And just as someone who's been in the communications industry my whole career, I've kind of watched what is the effect of technology on kids. So in our home, we decided we would put that off until a little bit of an older age. And then more recently, I've been involved in creating safer solutions that can be introduced to younger kids in a responsible way.
You mentioned something there. You said that now we know the effects of cell phones, giving a kid a computer with unmonitored use. We know the effects of that. So for anybody who isn't deep into the research, maybe you can break it down for us. What are some of the potential pitfalls associated with the cell phones and the unmonitored use on our children?
That's a phenomenal question. And I kind of divide them up into two categories. On one side, there's the real red flag things to be watching for, things like predators. You know, we know now that predators find kids online. That's how it happens now. It's typically not the person down the street that you've got to watch out for. It's the person online that you don't even know your kid is talking to. There are just example after example of kids that get into really terrible situations with people that they met online that their parents aren't even aware of. Bullying, cyberbullying is another one of those big ones that can have devastating impacts on kids. When I was a kid, you know, bullies existed then too, but you could kind of get away from them. You might have to deal with it at school, but now bullying happens all the time and with a much wider reach because of social media. So instead of being bullied by 2 or 3 kids, someone might be bullied by 3,000 kids because of a social media circle. And that has devastating consequences. And then, you know, a lot of families are, you know, keen on protecting their kids from content, whether that's violence, whether that's pornography. That's one of those areas where, you know, a lot of people have some sensitivity, but don't quite know how to deal with it, how to really navigate those concerns. The stuff that happens that's less obvious is what happens over time in the background. And research shows now that we're just getting into this real mental health crisis. It's been called by some authors, actually, as a result of the stress and the anxiety and the depression that comes from kids being on social media too much or just generally addicted to screens and spending a virtual life instead of a real life, developing relationships and doing the things that we all did as we were growing up as kids. And that one happens more slowly, and it's not so obvious, but it's so dangerous. One of the statistics that's just alarming to me is that the teen suicide rate in the United States has doubled since 2007, according to the CDC. And this there's a direct correlation there. We can't deny that anymore. In fact, I just read a study that talks about a direct relationship between suicidality rates and spending 2 to 3 hours a day on social media, especially with teenage girls. There was the highest correlation. So these are some of the things we've got to address as a society.
Yeah, as I was preparing for this interview, I wasn't surprised to read, but I was saddened to read that smartphone usage in children increased the risk for anxiety and depression in not only kids, but in adults as well. And I know in my own life, you know, I'm on my phone all the time, but when I intentionally turn it off, stick it in a drawer for a day or so, maybe 2 days if I'm lucky, my mood really does lighten. I get involved in my real life as opposed to my virtual life. So that's really what I want to talk to you about today is, you know, how can we create a culture in our homes for our children, yes, but also for us as adults to be more present in the current moment? And I guess I'm wondering, how do you prioritize the current moment as opposed to the virtual digital world in your home with your family?
You just characterized that perfectly. It's about intentionalism. It's about having a purpose for everything we do and in prioritizing the relationships that matter most over the relationships that are virtual or the tasks we need to complete online. Some of the things that I recommend, you just touched on one of them. I call it timeouts for our devices. You know, some of those obvious ones should be dinner time. Studies link a set structured dinner time to, you know, better family relationships, and kids get better grades in school. And we just, that concept of the traditional family dinner is going away because we're so busy all the time. Whatever a family structure is, it's important that there be that set time where whoever's in the home is together and they're sharing a meal together. And that should be a device-free time. We've in our family, we've tried things like taking days off. You know, we don't do devices on Sunday, for example, and we just try and put them away. Another one is family gatherings. You know, if you have family visiting or even friends visiting, get rid of the devices. I laughed at this in our family. This is a few years ago. We had family visiting from out of town that we didn't see very often. And at one point I looked around the living room and realized that everyone was either on a phone or a laptop. And here were our family from out of town. And I paused and I said, does anyone else realize how pathetic this is? and we, you know, we've since really tried to say, hey, let's just be together and get rid of the devices. Some of the other habits that can help with that, and not only from a relationship perspective, but also with just that stress and anxiety, research shows that getting off of screens an hour before you go to bed is really helpful. You know, in our home, devices go on the kitchen counter before bed, and, you know, they get charged there. But it's really, you know, for the purpose of we want the kids not to be on devices in their rooms for safety purposes, and just, you know, not just be on the devices all the time. So that notion of intentionalism is really important. And I would also look at what is the cell phone or whatever other device it is. What is it doing for us? Is it a tool or is it a tyrant? You know, if we're tied to that thing all the time, we're not controlling it. It's controlling us. And as soon as that happens, my goodness, we're not there for the individuals in our lives that matter most.
I've been thinking a lot about whether my phone is my tool or if it's my tyrant. And I've been trying to put some restrictions on myself, primarily because I know that my children are always watching me. And even though they are too young to have cell phones, my 7-year-old does have a Chromebook from school because she's hybrid learning. But even though they're too young to have devices of their own, they are learning by watching me with how I interact with my phone. And so you mentioned in your family, you keep the phones downstairs or in the kitchen when you go to bed. And I've been working on that in my life as well. Same if, you know, obviously at dinner time, the phone is not at my hip, but even when we're doing other little things, like maybe we're watching a movie as a family, or maybe we're playing a quick game, It starts for me by taking the phone off of my person, out of my pocket, and just putting it in another room. Because if I put up a barrier to getting it, like walking to the other side of the house, that alone is sometimes simple enough to bring me back into the present moment. Like, wait, do I actually need my phone right now while I'm playing Trouble with my kids? Or can I check it later? And so that's a very simplified solution, but it does work for me. Keep it off of my person. I'm wondering though, I mean, as a business owner, as a CEO, I'm guessing that you're on technology for the majority of the day. Do you add in breaks? Like, what do you do to get off the screen during the day? And I ask that because I'm on my computer all day long. So I need some wisdom here.
Yeah, it's so hard because as a society, we've created this expectation with each other that we're always on and we'll always respond. I don't know that that was the intention when the tools were introduced, but that's certainly what it has become. So for me, in various work environments I've been in, one of the things that's really important is to set expectations with coworkers, team members. Hey, there are times that my phone is with me and there are times that it's not with me. And if I'm with my kids, for example, they are my priority. I'm going to be present with them. And just, you know, maybe that for some people, it's really effective to set times of day and create expectations around when you will respond. So for example, you know, I do my email first thing in the day and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and if your coworkers have a sense for, okay, you know, he or she's not responding immediately, but I know that it's on their radar and they'll get back to me this afternoon, then some of that angst is alleviated. So I think that's the first step, is just setting expectations. I worked one time with a gentleman. This is kind of the flip side of it. But he set an expectation. When my wife calls me, I will answer. And I was in some pretty important meetings with him where he would pause. And he and his wife had a two-call system. If she called twice, he would pick it up no matter what. Just setting expectations is a big thing. The other thing I think is important, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, is when I am talking to an individual in person, they've got to get the full attention. That can't happen if my phone is in my hand and I'm wondering about the text message that just came in and worrying about responding. And so I've learned that I have to transition to that in-person conversation entirely by putting my phone down and just ignoring it, you know, for that conversation, whether that's with a team member in a professional setting or whether that's with one of my kids or my partner at home. It's whoever is in front of my face has got to have the full attention. Think of the message that we send inadvertently. If we're on our phone and a child comes to talk to us, for example, and they get the, yeah, hold on, just wait a second. And we've all done this. Like, we've all done that. And we say, I'll just finish this text. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes have gone by and that child has left. They've given up. And so we have inadvertently said two things. Number one, you're not as important as my phone. And I get emotional just thinking of that. And number two is we've set the pattern for them that these devices are more important than people. So, Stephanie, you're absolutely right. This example that we set is really what's teaching our kids how to have a healthier relationship with technology.
Hmm. Yeah, your example there really hit home for me as well. It's making me emotional. And I'm thinking about how many times, you know, I'm trying to talk to my husband, let's say, and he's dealing with work after hours because technology means we're always on. We're always on, even if we get a work-related text at 9 p.m., right? The barriers to work-home life are blurred now. And I'm annoyed because I'm trying to talk to him about something, but he's only half listening to me. He's on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, I can be annoyed at him for this moment, but I've done it to him and I've certainly done that to my children. Wait 1 minute as I finish this email, or wait 1 minute. And yeah, I think it does come down to being intentional. And what's more important, the child who needs my help or my attention or my love or whatever it may be, or the email? So that's something for me to keep in mind as I continue to navigate those blurred work and family life lines. I mean, I've been home podcasting and writing and homeschooling at the same time. So it's a tricky situation to navigate. The Sustainable Minimalist Podcast is supported by Cleaner Cloths. Europeans adore Swedish dishcloths, and here's why. They are the incredibly versatile alternative to sponges, rags, paper towels, and microfiber cloths. And Swedish dishcloths from Cleaner Cloths? Whereas microfiber is plastic, sponges are disposable, and rags harbor bacteria, Cleaner Cloths are actually made in Sweden from the highest quality cellulose and cotton. I love Cleaner Cloths because they're completely utilitarian. They're workhorses made to be used up to 100 times before tossing in my backyard compost bin. The best part? Just one Cleaner Cloth replaces 200 rolls of paper towels. Cleaner Cloths are an essential item in every sustainable minimalist home, and at just $1.47 per cloth, it's a no-brainer. Head over to cleanercloths.com to experience what Europeans have been raving about. That's cleanercloths.com, and try the best Swedish dishcloths today. The podcast is also supported by Outrage and Optimism. The world has been experiencing a convergence of crises. None of us has been immune to the challenges of this moment in history. Some argue that the greatest of them all is the climate crisis. And few of us know what to do about it. Isn't it all just too big for any one of us? Outrage and Optimism is a lively weekly podcast in which hosts Christiana Figueres, former UN climate chief, and her partners Tom Rivett-Carnick and Paul Dickinson set out to help us navigate the complexities of tackling climate change. They talk to business leaders, politicians, scientists, and activists, and ask, what makes you feel outraged about climate change? What is there to be optimistic about? I'm an avid listener of the show, and I love how the host managed to be both realistic and positive at the same time. Don't wait. Subscribe to Outrage and Optimism on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes every Thursday. And we're back discussing digital minimalism with Bill Brady of Trumi Wireless. Transitioning our discussion into digital minimalism with kids. The Wait Until 8th campaign is one in which parents are urged to wait until eighth grade to hand them over a cell phone. In your opinion and in your capacity as CEO of Trumi, is there a right age in which a kid should be given a cell phone?
I absolutely love the mission behind Wait Until 8th. I'm 100% aligned with their philosophy of, hey, we should postpone this to an appropriate age. I think that appropriate age is different for every family and for every child. There are just so many different family circumstances, and the needs and maturity level of every child are different. And it's also difficult to put a specific age on it because there are now more options for providing a safe solution than there were, a few years ago when Wait Until 8 started. So I think there are definitely more better options for parents now than there were. It's not just a question of, well, do I give my child an iPhone 10 or an iPhone 12 or not? It's, hey, there are some other possibilities out there. I think the answer really lies in starting younger kids with a very limited experience and graduating them into increasing levels of responsibility as their needs and maturity evolve. So it really does come down to this specific child. I've handled that differently from child to child in my own family. I've handled it differently. It's not just a one-size-fits-all solution. Because my kids have different personalities and we try to meet their needs at a level that's appropriate for them.
Well, you did mention differing options for parents in 2021. And I definitely want to talk to you about Troomy because it does seem to solve an awful lot of problems for conflicted parents. But before we talk about Troomy, I just want to ask you as a parent, I know you mentioned maturity levels. I know you mentioned different ages, but is there anything else a parent should consider when considering to give their child a cell phone?
I would think about, you know, what's the use that's required? You know, so we had, with our oldest daughter, we're one of those families that had cut the cord on a traditional phone line. We didn't have a landline anymore. And when our oldest daughter was starting to babysit for people and babysit for us, we had to have some kind of solution in place for her so that she could reach us. She could reach 911 if necessary, heaven forbid. So in her case, you know, I think she was 12 years old and we got her at the time. It was just a basic flip phone, so that she could have the connection without having all of the distractions and potential dangers that come with a traditional smartphone. So I'd look at what is the need? How would it be used? We had another daughter who she was doing a lot of extracurricular things that were further away from our home than we were accustomed to with our other kids. And she was getting rides from people and being picked up by their parents sometimes. And, you know, there was a situation where one of her rides one afternoon forgot to pick her up. And she was left outside of a building in Salt Lake City and didn't have a way to contact us. And thank goodness, one of the other parents saw her and said, "Hey, Ainsley, do you need a ride?" And she was able to get home. But in that case, we realized, hey, there's a need here. But for that child, there was no way I was ready to give her a phone. It just wasn't happening. And we ended up getting her a smartwatch where she could call or text just a very limited number of people and not have a full phone experience.
Talk to me about Troomy. It's a cellular network for kids. First of all, talk to me what on earth a cellular network for kids actually is, and what problems are you hoping to solve with Troomy?
So yes, Troomy Wireless is a mobile company designed for kids. We're the phone and the phone service. What really makes Troomy unique is what we call our Kids Smart operating system. And that's software that we've developed at the operating system level that enables parents to graduate their kids from one level of functionality to the next, based on needs and maturity, and without having to upgrade devices. Right now, if you're a parent and you want to get your kids a cell phone, you've got two ends of the spectrum. One is it's the Wild West. It's get your kid the latest iPhone or Galaxy or whatever device it is, and it's wide open. And, you know, so much computing power that they don't need, and just all of the potential risks and dangers right at their fingertips. On the other end of the spectrum, in recent years, there have been devices that have come out that are definitely safer because they're completely locked down to talk and text only. And from a safety perspective, that's great, but practically, it's not really helping kids to learn, grow, to have tools they need to excel in school, to nurture their hobbies or discover new talents. So the problem we're trying to solve is, what's the middle ground? What's the approach to give kids a device that's completely locked down to begin with, but then say, mom or dad, you now have an easy way to add step-by-step functionality that will give your kids the tools they need to do digital classroom with school, for example, which a lot of kids are doing right now, or to have email, because email is required for school in so many classrooms now. That's that middle ground where we're filling. It's safety and flexibility so that we can really help kids excel and achieve their potential.
And I think that as a parent, custom fitting the cell phone experience to the child is really the epitome of intentionality around cell phone use. I also would argue, as somebody who doesn't have children with cell phones, so take this with a grain of salt, but perhaps the possibility of having the maximum security phone will delay the addictiveness that we see in the wild, wild west phones, where, you know, there's so much to click on, so much to do, so many games, so much social media.
So that's a really, really important question to consider, because I don't think there's any circumstance in which you can give a device to a young person and just say, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Regardless of how safe it is, I think that there's always a need and an opportunity for parents to provide their kids with a better pattern, a non-digital pattern for building relationships and learning and growing. Again, remembering that there are digital tools that can help all of us, adults and kids, but none of those tools are as important as real life. And so in our family, even when we've given kids devices, we do a lot to make sure that we're not a device family, if you will. We're always going on hikes and walks and finding fun things to do outside. We also do what we call our bucket lists. So at the beginning of every season, we sit down as a family and we say, okay, what's our summer bucket list this year? And we have one of those great big post-it notes, you know, those 2x3 foot post-it notes that you may have seen. And we write on that, and it becomes the checklist of things that we want to do as a family that season. And by doing things like that, we're being really intentional about how we spend our time together, because it will always default in this day and age. Time will always default to screens if we're not more intentional about it.
You're so right there. Our free time will always default to a screen unless we really put some restrictions around it for ourselves and for our children. I think about my own life. When I have a spare minute, what do I unconsciously do? I pick up the phone. I don't pick up a book. I pick up the phone. So I think that's a great place to leave it. But before we say goodbye, please tell me and my listeners where we can find more information about TrueMe Wireless.
So all of our sales will be done online at TrueMe.com, TrooMe.com. So you can go there now and get more information, more details about what we're doing and our approach and our philosophy. And then also check out Instagram and Facebook. And we've got content up there that will help communicate our mission and our vision as well.
Bill, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. You have given me a lot to think about and a lot of practical insight to take with me into my home life. So thank you so much.
Hey, I really appreciate the conversation, Stephanie. Thank you very much.
I so hope you gleaned some wisdom and some perspective from my conversation with Bill Brady. I have linked to Trumi Wireless in this week's show notes if you're interested in learning more. Now, this week we do have an EcoTap, and it comes from Britta. Britta listened to my recent episode on good enough eco-friendly parenting. That was episode 174, if you missed it. And Britta wrote to me with a potential solution to the kids' clothes conundrum. Upchoose.com is a clothing website that sends you a curated set of organic baby clothes for a fraction of the price of buying new. And then when your child outgrows what they've sent you, you send them back for the next size up. I've linked to upchoose.com in this week's show notes as well, if that sounds like a potential solution for you. On next week's show, we are talking about the importance of popular culture in engaging our children in environmental issues. I will see you then. Have an amazing week and take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.